قعدولنا ضلينا أسبوع بالمدرسة في الغابة.
Deed and truth. Let there be a congruency of what you believe and what you say and how you live it out. And there should not be a barrier of how you are willing to live that out, or to whom you're willing to live that out, or when you are willing to live that out. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 3 says, "To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable than sacrifice." Let me translate that for you. To live out your faith is more important than the rituals of your religion. Because if you're not living out the rituals of your religion, then what does King David say in Psalm 51? Oh, you don't care about those sacrifices. I give them to you if they mattered. What matters is the heart that is turned inwardly with a broken and contriteness that desires to have nothing in them but the ways of God exuding out of them. Now that's my paraphrase. But the ways of God is not just to be transformed in the mind, but our entire being evidence a life that has been radically saved. And so that's why on occasion, we probably ought to do it more, but we talk about this idea of, in reminding us of this, that God is a God of justice, of righteousness, of caring for those that we often ignore, or in places that we don't want to go, or in situations that we are oblivious to. It's a reminder not just of the Free Methodist roots. Free Methodism has been around since the Civil War, and one of the pillars of the denomination has been issues of justice. And it is a part of the DNA of this specific stream in the Protestant church. And it's a reminder of our roots. I think it's a reminder that goes back even farther than 1860. It goes back to the time when God spoke to Moses in the burning bush that was not consumed. And he says, "I have heard the cries of my people. Will you come and hear my voice and be an ambassador of bringing freedom?" I dare say it probably went back farther than that when God called Abraham out of the land of the pagans and said, "Hey, I've got a plan. Do you want to embark on this journey I have with you?" Ever since humanity stepped outside the realm of God's good intentions, he has been endeavoring to bring back restoration. And the remnant of people that have said yes to Jesus and claim him as Lord of his life, their lives, are invited to be participants and partners and collaborators in bringing about justice and freedom and hope, salvation, life. Kevin, on the video, many of you have had encounters with Kevin. Some of you haven't. Kevin Austin is a missionary in the Free Methodist Church who reaches out specifically in an organization called Set Free. We've had a relationship with him for 7 or 8 years. He's been up here a few times and really encouraged us in this issue of justice, and he highlighted it. There's an issue of slavery, even in the 21st century. You've heard the statistics. Over 40 million people, I think it's even more now, 40 million that we're able to track are still in slavery. Slavery is one of three things: people that are held by violence through threat of violence, people that are unable to walk away, or people that are forced to do things that they don't want to do. Those all comprise the realm of slavery. Slavery and is a $150 billion industry every year. It comprises sex slavery, labor slavery. It's found in industries of domestic labor, agriculture, forestry, construction, manufacturing, hospitality, and more. The people that are greatest at risk are those on the margins, those that are vulnerable, those that don't have a support network, those that have social economic issues that put them in spaces of vulnerability. And they are not just put in forced labor, but they're trafficked. And it's not just trafficked internationally. Go down to the lower 48, a 1,500-mile, three-hour plane ride to Seattle, and it's one of the largest human trafficking ports in the United States. It's on the West Coast, closest major city to us in the U.S. And I guarantee it happens here in Anchorage. And we want to talk about human trafficking, we can talk about sex trade, just go to the villages. I've heard at one point 90% of young ladies, 16 and older, younger, have been abused. It happens in our backyard. It happens in our own state. It happens in our own country. But it's an issue of sin. It's an issue of we live in a broken world. A broken world where the poison of sin infects and spreads its tentacles in any place it can. It happens in broken communities. It's a byproduct of racism, poverty, gender-based violence, abuse, civil war, addictions, and so many other things. And we continue to be complicit and contribute to the problem by the things that we do and the things that we buy. And we can have another conversation on that. We've had it before. But I bring these things up because we need to be reminded. And these are reminders that we live in a very unjust, evil, and sinful world. But that's not the end of the story. It's why I highlighted that we have a God that created and spoke into existence the world, and each human being bears on them the image of God. And though we may have gone astray, there is a story woven throughout the history of man where God's active in bringing about redemption and reconciliation. So even though we live in a broken, unjust, sin-sick world, that's not the final answer. Because we have to be reminded of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done and what he invites us into. Christ's likeness and holiness for God is not just a Free Methodist Wesleyan thing, but it's a theme that's woven throughout Scripture. I could read you a bunch of examples of Scripture, but I mentioned that one in John 3, and that just highlights that the creator of the universe had to step into creation to bring about redemption and reconciliation. That's how far the expanse of sin's stain was wrought on humanity and creation. But it also shows the expanse of what God was willing to do to redeem creation and redeem humanity. And he invites us into that process. And we know he invites us into the process because if you just read the Old Testament alone, you'll read how the people of Israel were to be a people of justice and be a beacon of hope and justice. And one of the reasons why they were so disciplined is because they often were the very oppressors that they were being told to bring freedom from. Freedom Sunday is about remembering our roots. It's about celebrating not only the incarnation of Jesus Christ and the life of Christ and the death of Christ, but the resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit that can transform individuals and it can transform communities. It's also to be able to say, how do we step into those spaces of opportunity, big and small? And we want to speak to the opportunities that are presented. The first thing, and it's a theme that fits very well with what we've been talking about for the last 5 or 6 weeks, is prayer. I invite you this week especially to pray in the direction of freedom. Pray in the direction of identifying places. You'll hear about more specifically the issues going on in Iraq and northern, in that Middle Eastern area. So you will have a very tangible place that you can pray. But I would also invite you to say, God, how do my prayers become more? Because prayers have the capacity to bring about change. Not just out there, but within us. 1 Peter 2:10 says this, we are God's holy nation, a royal priesthood, God's chosen people who are gifted for the work of his kingdom. Isaiah 58, the book of Amos, Matthew 25 says, we are called to do justice. In Exodus, the story is about how we were once slaves and God delivered the people of Israel from slavery, from the tyrannical hands of the power of Egypt. And in like manner, when Jesus Christ died and was resurrected, he offers salvation from the freedom of sin, the slavery of sin, and he would receive. And even Jesus in Luke chapter 14 repeats Isaiah 61 and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring freedom, to be filled with the Spirit, to set captives free and work toward the favorable year of the Lord. In the holiness tradition, these are themes that are foundational. But it's not just the holiness tradition of the Free Methodist Church. I dare say it's the tradition and the foundation of the Christian faith. And so when you're not just praying for individuals that you hear about, invite yourselves into those prayers. Step into them. Say, God, how can I be an agent of freedom, an agent of justice? God, how do you invite me to take what I have, whether it is the mite or the mustard seed or your little faith, whatever it is, would you say, Jesus, here's what I got. What are your 2 loaves and 5 fishes? The Set Free Movement and Freedom Sunday is celebrated so that we can reduce vulnerabilities. It's so we can empower communities into action. That it's a collaborative effort to bring freedom and healing in our neighborhoods. I guarantee there are places of community needs that address issues of vulnerability, not just in Eagle River, but in Anchorage alone, and even out into the valley, into the villages. Just in our beautiful state that we love, there is opportunities to step into to bring freedom and healing, but also to partner and collaborate in places and contexts in the world that need that same freedom and healing. In past Freedom Sundays, things that the giving that has been directed towards specific places has brought change. In rural Thailand, 20 tribal children are no longer vulnerable to human trafficking because of extreme poverty. They reside at an international child care ministry hostel where they're educated, they're fed, they're clothed, and they're given Christian care. Those children, and I've been to those international child care ministry hostels, I've been to multiple ones in India, and I can tell you, if they get to go there, they have a chance because they're given an education. If a child that's living on the streets of India has an opportunity even to learn a very remedial English language, they have a far better chance than any other kids in their neighborhood to make it out of there. Because they begin to speak the language of commerce. Even in India, where there's 7 major languages, if you can speak English, it changes everything. And in Thailand specifically, there's 20 children that have an opportunity. In Seattle, at-risk girls in foster care are now connected with peers, resources, and mentors to support them on their journey. With 70% of commercially exploited youth in Seattle, 70% of the youth that are sexually exploited in Seattle come from the foster care system. Every 7 out of 10 children in foster care are at risk to be sexually exploited, just in Seattle. And so there's a ministry through the Free Methodist Church and the SPU down there and other partnerships. They're working with foster care to get these girls equipped, supported, and empowered to change their futures. And it's happening. Across the other side of the nation, in a little town of Illinois in Greenville, I believe, where women who once survived human trafficking can heal and flourish. These women, once coerced and forced to engage in dehumanizing acts, are now pursuing a relationship with the Lord. They're learning how to trust. They're experiencing healing. They're studying for their GED or a bachelor's degree, and they're securing employment. There is a home that was started for these women that were trafficked, and if I remember correctly, it's 1 of 3 in the whole state of Illinois. And their future has been radically altered because of celebrations like today. And by the end of this year, as many as 10 Roma girls in Bulgaria will move into a home where they will live in a safe and secure family environment free of poverty, neglect, and abuse. I just got a video about that place being dedicated. It may seem small, but in God's kingdom, all you need is something small, and the possibilities explode. Each of these powerful interventions to human trafficking thrive because of giving that's happened in the direction of freedom on Sundays like today. There is a hopeful response. And that's what I'm inviting us into today. What is our hopeful response? What can we do in the direction of freedom? How will God invite you to be mobilized into action? I would love to see, ever since I've been here, we're going into our sixth year of being in Alaska, and each year there's been incremental movements in about a Set Free Alaska and what that looks like. We've had conversations. Kevin Austin's come up and visited. We've had workshops. We've had conversations. We've had people and small groups talk about it. We've read books. But what are movements in the direction of being more collaborative and more community-based and reaching out to our own neighborhoods and beyond? I know there's gifts and talents and resources in this congregation alone. And I know that this congregation has relationships elsewhere that can reach out and begin a community movement in the direction of freedom. And I'd love to see us take another step forward in what that looks like. And so there'll be opportunity for you to respond. In your worship folder, there's a little thing there. It says partnering in prayer. And if you want to say any part of the service that you would like to say, hey, I want to put myself out there, put your name and anything in the service. There's a couple slots, maybe one, two, or three, that you're saying, hey, I'd like more information, or I'd like to step out into that, just to note it. And at the end of the service, when we take up a tithe and a special offering for Set Free or the Freedom Sunday offering, put that prayer partnership in the basket. That's your opportunity. If you, at the end of our service, if you want to give specifically towards Freedom Sunday initiatives, there we can get you an envelope or you can denote it on your check. But I'm kind of talking from this view, and I want to have a chance for you to hear more specifically to this area in Iraq and where Freedom Sunday is directing its resources. And so I want to show this last video, and then I'm going to turn things over to Karen, and she's going to share with you her experiences in Iraq.
بعدين طلعونا أخذنا على النصف إيش سوي صراحة شفنا طعم كثير درجة إنه نحن نخدمونها وغصبون خلاص يعني لا بد لا بد سيدا
جان ناس لبسوك الحزام الناسف وين المكان اللي كانوا عايزين يفجروا
لا موصل.
وين موصل وعملتي إيه وقتها
عملت إيه كان جلب بس دق كان فجر
أوكي.
سويت حميتي جتعت يعني كتب بعيد وخلزلت فجرت وحش أنا وحيتي وأخواتي أمي هربنا من العرش أبي ما حكبه حتى تقول هاي بن غرفة ما قتلوها كان تقريبا أسبوعين أبي بقيت دعش بالغرفة دعش وراحوا أبي هرب تقريبا يعني سعد بس هرب إجابة
أنا اسمي نانسي روجي أنا مصرية جاية من القاهرة جيت هنا عشان أقدر إنه أتعامل وأساعد البنات اللي عدوا في أزمات وفي صدمات نفسية ربنا مكلمني إنه أبقى معاهم وأساعدهم عملنا معاهم كورس الصدمات والعلاج بالفن وهم عبارهم تقريباً 6 محاضرات بنخرج من خلال الرسم والفن كل صدمة هم عدوا فيها سواء نجيات أو سواء هم هربوا على الجبل من البنات ده كورس بيفيد قوي في انه نقدر نتعرف على الامور الصعبه اللي هم بيعدوا فيها
وقت الشنجا هذي ام فتره جاء الجالمان مدين دعات بيرن من الجلبين
وهنا احنا بنقول انه الله هو مصدر الامان بتاعنا وهي بتقول انه ده اكتر مكان امان هي حاسه بيه من وقت ما خرجت من سنجار وكانت عندها كان أول محاضرة
بعد ما انتي طلعتي الدولار وشوفتي شكله ايه احساسك لما انتي
ونظبطها مثل الألف بس ما ينتظر يزبط مثل الألف يعني.
لكن بنحاول ان احنا نخرج من الأزمة وبنحاول ان احنا نصلح الحاجة اللي اتكسرت دي.
So at this time, I want to invite Karen Silley up, and she's going to speak a little more to this story of Iraq and her time there. So I'm just going to yield the floor.